All right. Let's do this. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to talk about how to be strong. How to be strong in the Lord. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. This is a word that the Lord gave me and put inside of me to talk to you today about. And we have been studying the subject of prayer, and I'll come back to it, but this is something that I want to, I'm just going to obey the Lord on this, okay? Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. Everybody have it? Amen. 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." See that? Let's all read that together. Ready? Everybody together? 1, 2, 3. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Say, "thy strength." Say, "your strength." Say, "my strength." My strength is small if I faint in the day of adversity. In the day of adversity, my strength is small. So obviously, to overcome adversity, you need to be strong. But strong in what? Strong in faith. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength, your strength, is small. Okay? Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Within the realm of what we face, the oppositions in life are intended to destroy our faith, our vision, where we're going in life. So the adversity that we face is from, obviously, an adversary. Adversity, adversary. The adversary being that of Satan, the devil, okay? And this is what Jesus says to us in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Everybody have it?
Yes.
Verse number 1. He says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see that? You believe in God, believe also in me. The basis to the strength that we're pressing towards is all based on how you believe. Wrong believing results with weak believing, and weak believing results with weak faith. Thus, your faith will be weak, and you will be, your strength will be what? Small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Okay? So, now, let's go over to Joshua chapter 1. This is Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1. Praise the Lord for his word. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Rules of thumb to follow in order for strength to be developed. Romans 10:17 states to us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word of God, your faith is not increasing. If your faith is not increasing, your strength is going to be small. Okay? So it's pretty, you know, put like the water with the wet. You know, you jump, the water is wet. The wet is wet because of the water, but they work together. You know, you got to have them both. If you're going to be strong, you need to be strong in faith. Strong in faith, amen? Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Be what?
Strong.
I cannot hear you.
Be strong.
What?
Be strong.
Be what?
Strong.
strong. So if we're going to be strong, that means something's got to be developed. If we're going to be strong, you got to develop something. Y'all know this. Everybody in here has muscles. But if you do not work those muscles, what tends to happen? Your body begins to depreciate. It'll begin to become frail. It'll begin to break down. Isn't that right? Well, likewise, if your faith is not strong, you will begin to crumble down in the day of adversity. So we need to build our faith. How does that equation work? How does that make you strong? How does God coordinate hearing and doing as a way of strength? How does he do that? He's God. He's the one that created this. So I'm just doing what he said. He said, hear my word. Hear my word, and not only hear it, but be a doer of it. Don't just be a hearer of the word of God, but be a doer of it. So let me ask you this. Don't answer me. This is just a question. Do you want to be strong financially? Do you want your, what is the term for it? Portfolio to speak strength. Do you want it to be strong? Yeah. How will it be strong if you're not investing? There's no way for you to be strong portfolio-wise financially if you're not investing. You have to invest in order for that portfolio financially to be strong. If you do not develop your portfolio by investing, then your portfolio will be weak. Is your faith strong? Is your faith strong? Your portfolio of faith, does the picture that is speaking to you that you see, is it strong? And you have to evaluate your life, because the fact is that the evidence should be that of strength. So the evidence of faith is strength. Are you strong? Because there should be some corresponding actions to that, right? Shouldn't there be some evidence to what your faith is? Shouldn't it? So shouldn't it be that of what? Strength. Strong. So God says to Joshua, he says what? Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide. For how are we going to have a strong inheritance to divide when we're not investing? We're not investing into the gospel. We're not investing into our own spiritual life, our own spiritual well-being. You're going to have a weak portfolio of your life. What does your picture state? What is the image that you project? Strength-wise, is it strong? Are you strong? Okay? And I'm not talking by faith. I'm talking about manifestedly. So I can say all I want. I can say, man, I want to have a washboard stomach. I believe I have a washboard stomach. I thank you, Father, for that washboard stomach. Hallelujah. And I will keep growing to have a one-board stomach if I don't do anything about it. I have one big shield. Something. It's a bump. But it's a big bump. Okay, but you understand? There are practices that we must do in order for our washboard stomach to be manifested. There are some disciplines and some practices that we need to incorporate into our lives for us to be strong, for us to be strengthened in our faith, strengthened in who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on, he says, how are we gonna divide an inheritance? We don't have, how are you going to divide an inheritance? It says, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be what? Thou strong. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. to all that's in the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So it shouldn't matter wherever we go, whatever we go in life, we should be prospering. It doesn't matter where you are in whatever field, whatever profession, we should, as believers, should be prospering. Hey, we can shut that air off, please. Okay, verse number 8. Now, this is a rule of thumb for us to practice. If we're going to be strong, and let me ask you this. Don't answer me, but this is just a question just to make you think. Do you meditate? Don't answer. Do you meditate? If you do not meditate, there is no way that your faith will increase. You hear what I'm saying? You could be hearing the word through the channel of CD, through iPod, through those channels. Once you're done with that, you should have scriptures that you're meditating on. If you do not have scriptures, that it's one thing to get the principles that you're getting, receiving, like we're studying this right now. We're doing what is known as topical study. This is a topical study. We're taking scriptures, specific scriptures, to make a presentation so you have an understanding of how to live this. But if you personally want to develop, if you want to grow, and if you want to be strong, you personally must make the decision to meditate on the scripture. If you do not, you will not increase. You will stay stagnant, and you will not grow. You will not develop. You hear what I'm saying? And any wind of doctrine, like what James chapter 1 says, any wind that comes your way, you'll be easily swayed by it because you have no foundation that's based on the word. We need the word, God's word, not the word of the world, not opinion, but what does the Bible say? You have to do this, okay? He says, now, could anybody quote the scripture? Verse number 8? Joshua 1:8? Quote it to me. Okay, let's read it. All right. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, and that's what I wanted to emphasize on. The purpose for meditation is to do it. See, you can't tell me that you're being a Christian and you're not meditating. Because the normal response to in the day of adversity, what's going to come out of you? So if you're not meditating on the word, you are meditating on something. And whatever you're meditating on is what you're going to use to fight with. Okay? So if you're not meditating on the word, when the day of adversity comes, the evil day, that's whatever you're thinking about and what you've been pondering throughout the months, weeks, months, days, hours, minutes is what's going to come out of you. See, it's easy right here. Everybody looks, y'all look beautiful. I mean, you look like Christians. Man, you have your Bibles. They're wide open. And glasses, what does that have to do with spiritual? Okay, well, okay, good. That's a good point. Okay, you have glasses on, it makes you look like you're smart. No offense to those who wear glasses. Do you understand? Do you think that's going to make you a victorious, overcoming believer? No. We need to take... Let's read on. He says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You're not going to have a prosperous way of living and have good success if you're not meditating. Because if you're meditating, that means you are intending to do something with it. If you're not meditating on it, this is just religion. You just come to church, you're doing the church as usual thing. I'm supposed to be here. Nothing. I'm not knocking it. You need to come to church. At least you're hearing something. You got something going on. But I think everybody in here, if you're coming, you're getting up in the morning to get it. You all take a couple hours to get, or most, you know, some of us, to get here. And don't you think that maybe if you make you're making that effort to be here, some of us work late hours and still come and are here in service. You're here. Don't you think that if you take the time to come here, that maybe you should take interest and want to do something with what you're getting here? Wouldn't it be like a waste of your time if you just came and, okay, I feel good, and then leave? And then there's nothing else? No. We need to, as your pastor, because am I your pastor? And as your pastor, I expect for you to grow. I expect for you to change. I expect for you to prosper. If I'm thinking that, I know our Heavenly Father expects that of us. If I'm thinking that. So yeah, when I look at you, I expect things. I expect for you to be at a different place in your life. Right? Verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that a good word from our Heavenly Father? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Maybe after service? Not right now? After service? Please? All right, Philippians chapter 4. All right, this is, again, let not your heart be troubled. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Small strength, small faith. Right believing develops strong faith, right? So we want to develop the muscle of faith. We're going to grow strong in what? Faith. And the only way you can do that is through the channel of meditation. Okay, now, what does the word meditate mean? What does it mean? Y'all know? To ponder, to mutter softly under your voice. And so if you're hearing the word, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but thou shalt meditate. I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to the soul, and I'm letting the soul know, this is what you're going to do. Psalms 103 says, I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does it say?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Who are you talking to? You're talking to your mind. You're telling your mind what to do. Bless the Lord, soul, and all that is within me. You talk to your soul to tell it what to do. Your soul does not tell you what to do. Amen. You're in charge. And we understand God. Is God working? Are we working for God? Or are we working with God? Working with Him. And if God is with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? So all things being equal, there is a decision you have to make for you to be strong. That's why God said it. He said it pointedly. He didn't ask you. He said, if you would, please be strong. He didn't say that. He said what? First word was what?
Be strong.
That's a command. Be strong. Isn't that right? Okay, now the oppositions that come along in life, you're going to face opposition. We have an adversary. That's why Proverbs 24:10 If you faint in the day of adversity, say it with me. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Say it again. Say it again. So you just meditated right now. Amen. That is the process of meditation. It's a constant repeating, and it doesn't get dry. The word doesn't get, it's not boring. The word of God is not dead. So the more you say it, the more life is generated. See, that's the thing about God. God's word is alive. So meditation has to do with it's just like the way a cow chews its food, chews the hay. How does a cow chew its, how does it eat? Constantly chewing and chewing and chewing, chewing. It swallows it and then regurgitates it and then chews it again and again. And then he swallows it and regurgitates it and chews it again and again. And that's a process. It is a process. And what it's doing is it's breaking it down so that it can process through its stomach properly and give it the nutrients it needs, the cut that the cow needs, as long as it's eating hay and not corn. Yes. Okay? All right. So point being is that that's the channel of meditation. And that's the same way we have to meditate, speak it, talk it. If you do not, there will be no change in your life. There will be no change in your circumstances. They will remain the same, if not get worse. Do you want to change? Do you want to better where you are today? I don't think anybody in their right mind would say no to that. I believe everybody in here desire to better their position today. Isn't that right? I mean, that's the normal process of life, is growth, not getting down. Even when the aging factor. Do we want to get old or age in our bodies? Do we? Anybody? No, we fight against it. That's why you work out. That's why you eat right. That's why you do what you need to do, right? So the point being is that God thinks that way of us. And that's the thing about the spirit of man. The spirit of man is constantly being renewed daily being renewed. If you're doing your due diligence. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by what? And we had this subject here. By prayer. And prayer is communication with our Father. And supplication, meaning a pleading based on a demand. Do you know that when you ask God for something, that you're asking as a king? As a king or as a queen, as you being females. As a king and as a queen. And you're asking based on the position of a king. And as a royal priesthood, as a royalty position, because God is royal. Jesus is royal. Do you understand that? So we're asking from royalty to royalty whenever we ask anything of him. And we ask from royalty to royalty. You know why? Because we are inheritors. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. So we can demand on the thing by asking based on what is already there for us as a king. As how much if the United States functioned as a kingship, as a kingdom, how much of the kingdom would I own? How much? Every single state in this nation. I am what? The king. So do I need to ask of anything that is in the land? I'm the king. As a matter of fact, people will be bowing and giving me things. You understand? And we don't understand it because we're not in that, under that government or under that rule. We don't have that monarchy, that type of mindset. We don't understand it. And so we have to have some means of identification through looking at the way kingship was established and how it was developed. And it came from God. Who was the first king? Adam was the first king, but when it was established, who was the first king? Kingship. King Saul. He was the first king. But who chose the king? The people did, not God. God chose David. But the people wanted a natural, physically in stature, strong man. Saul. Physically. But mentally, he was weak. A very emotional man. A weak man. David had the strength. How do you know, how do we know in comparison to Saul and David that David was the stronger of the two? How do we know that? Oh, we know that from that perspective. But how do we decipher? How do you measure? How do you look at, you're going to evaluate Saul and you're going to evaluate David, and you look at the strengths that David had and the strengths that Saul had in comparison. How do you determine that David was a stronger man? Well, the way you determine that is his measure of responsibility. How he handled his responsibilities. His character was strong. That's why before he left the sheep to go and minister to his brothers, he made sure that the sheep were tended to. He didn't just leave. He had enough sense to know that I have a responsibility here. And because he made wise decisions, things were positive. He was positively, what did his brother start questioning him about? Remember? When they were fighting Goliath, they were hiding behind bushes, afraid of Goliath. And David comes and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would speak to the children of the Most High God like this? Yeah, and immediately, that would say, who do you think you are, you little runt? You go back over there and don't you have to take care of the sheep? I already taken care of that. Why aren't you taking care of this? And immediately, he said, what did he attempt to do? Saul said, let me armor this man up, because Saul recognized that this man was a man, this man was a man. How about that? Just that in a nutshell. This man was a man because he handled responsibility. So here, put on my armor. Put that thing on. It's like, this is not me. Let me be me. Took 5 smooth stones. It was only one Goliath. But just in case his other brothers wanted to jump. Took that one stone and sinked it into his forehead. Cut off his head, Goliath's head, and showed it to the enemies. To let you know that this head right here that represented Satan has nothing on the children of God. Nothing on the children of God. You have nothing on me. Just letting you know. Y'all want to jump? I got 5 other stones for you. 4 other stones. You all, your 4 brothers? They all fled. You cut off the head. Gone. Everybody took off. But responsibility. And people, now you think about it from this perspective today, in our day today, how a lot of Christians today are inconsistent with their lifestyle. And I've said this before illustratively with regards to a female looking for a man. You're not going to look for, you don't want a weak man. You want somebody. David's maturity was based on the control of his emotions. He knew when it was to be released. And he released that emotion on the right enemy. Cut his head off, right? He knew it. So in our day today, where are our men at? It's the understanding. Where are all the men? Where are the men? Because men need to take responsibility in life for what they're where they're going in life. And in order to do that, they got to control themselves from a very young age. You got to learn how to do that. And it is our responsibility as fathers to teach our children, to teach our young men how to be strong. The lack of control of emotions, your strength becomes weak. Y'all with me? Are females weak? No, are they weak? Are females weak? Females are not weak. Females, let me ask you, men. Could any of you pass a 10 centimeter from your bottom and live? No. 10 centimeters wide. Come through you. Can ladies do that? Is it possible for females to handle that? And do they have the strength to do that? What would happen to us men if we were to do that? Yeah. I don't know. We'll go be with the Lord. That's for sure. I won't even talk any further on that. But you all understand what I'm stating to you, right? There's strength. There's strength. There's strength in it. Men can be emotional just as equal as females can. The idea that females are emotional is a misnomer. It's dependent on the measure of maturity and their basis of strength based on what the Word says. Are there some strong women today that trust God and believe God? And what ends up happening when you got a weak man inside of the house and you have a strong woman? You all paying attention now? Okay, you have a weak man in the house and a strong woman. What ends up happening in the house? Who becomes the head? The woman does. The woman becomes the head because you know what determines the strength in that relationship or in that house? You know what becomes the strength of it? Who? God does. The spiritual level of leadership is what actually allows for the strength of headship to be there. Who's supposed to be the head of the house? The man is taking spiritual leadership in the home. Should be. Okay? So are we going to press toward that mark? All right, Philippians 4:6 again, we're going to read that. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What kind of mindset is this? It's a spiritual mindset, and it's set on a decisiveness. Once you ask, there should be no question about it. Right? If you ask, I'm talking to both males and females now. Once you ask, there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You asked. Either God is a God of his word or he is not. And once it's settled, that's why he says, and the peace of God. Because you've asked. Who did you ask? God. And so emotional strength needs to be present. In order for you to be strong, you need to be strong in faith based on what God says. What has God promised? Whatever that may be, whatever you're trusting him for. I don't know what you're trusting him for. There's certain things. I know everybody, I believe everybody in here is trusting him for finances. So, what scriptures do you have to base what you're trusting him for? Because if you're trusting him for financial increase, then obviously you have some financial scriptures that you're confessing. Otherwise, you have really nothing to believe for. You'll be asking amiss. Y'all understand? So he says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, process of thinking. All right, let's go to Ephesians, okay? We're talking about now being strong, right? Yes. Be strong. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is weak, is small. Little faith. And that little faith is based on doubt. You with me? It's based on doubt. Okay, look at verse number 10, 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. He says, finally, in that word, finally, what does that imply? In other words, of most importance here. Now you gotta listen. Finally, y'all listening?
Yes.
My brethren. What does he say here? Be strong in the Lord. But the first phrase is what? Be strong. What did God tell Joshua? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it goes on to give the armor. And there's a reason. Well, verse number 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're talking about an adversary. If thou faint in the day of adversity, obviously we have adversaries. Satan is the adversary. Okay, but we want to focus in on how do we be strong? How do we be strong? All right, let's go now to Romans chapter 4. Strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you remember when I mentioned this to you at one time, this is not taken away from Scripture, but if you exchange the letter L with the letter W, it would read from Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the word. And I would not be misquoting or taking Scripture out of context, because John's Gospel chapter 1 says that the word became flesh, and that word is Jesus Christ. So who's the Lord? Jesus Christ, right? He is the Lord. So he also is what? The word. So you can be strong in the Lord by being strong in the word. You got to be strong in the word, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 4, excuse me. Now, the only reason for staggering is because you're, is the right word imbalanced or unbalanced? Okay, well, unbalanced. The only reason for staggering is being unbalanced. If you stagger, have you ever staggered? Like this? Stagger. And what tends to come when you stagger? You can fall. Okay? So the only reason for stagger is being unbalanced. Okay? If I had you all stand up right now and spin around, right in your spot, and then stand still and open your eyes, what's going to happen? You're going to stagger because you're on what? Unbalanced. So there's a reason for staggering. The reason for staggering is not being equally balanced in your mind. So if you're not equally balanced, so where are most people in our day, and I'm talking to Christians, they're more balanced in the world than they are balanced with God. Where's your balance? Where is it at? Because if you're not balanced in the word, you're going to stagger. And the fact is that staggering can cause a fall. And whose fault is that? Our fault. We need to take responsibility. We need to be like David. Be responsible and accountable for our actions. When you mess up, be faithful to repent. And get back up and keep moving forward. Right? Okay, so Romans 4:20. He said, let's read verse 19. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
It says, and being not weak, who is he speaking of? Abraham. Weak in faith. So do you see weak faith? So if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small or weak, right? He says, and being not weak in faith. So if he is not weak in faith, that means he's what?
Strong.
Strong in what?
Faith.
Faith in what God says. I believe you, Lord. I believe your word. I do not believe what the circumstances speak to me. I believe your word, Lord. Okay? And being not weak in faith, he considered not the circumstances. Okay? I know it talks about his body, but that's an outward thing, and he did not consider the circumstances, the outward dictation or word of the devil. Okay, we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world. The spiritual realm is there to bring attention to the negative circumstances. Okay, let's hold your finger there and let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Y'all have it? So y'all flowing with me on this?
Yes.
Be strong. It's the word for you today. Be strong. In order to do that, you have to position yourself to be strong. You got to make a decision. Make a choice. Okay? He says, verse number 20, the enemy's objective is to take your attention off of the word. Off of the word. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He says, my son or daughter, attend or give attention to what? My words. See that? Give attention. Attend. Attend means to give first place to. Before you decide anything, give first place to my word. Attend to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not. What did he say there? Let them not what?
Depart
from where? What eyes? What eyes? What eyes are you talking about? Are you literally talking about these physical eyes? What eyes is he talking about? Yeah, your spiritual eyes, but where is that at? In your soul. Remember, the lamp of the body is the eye. Eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. And it's spelled E-Y-E, not E-Y-E-S. Matthew 5:19. Or, yeah, I think it's 5:19. Is the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye be single, then you'll be full of light. But you could allow for that eye to be darkness. Jesus said it. So to keep it single, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? What did he say? Don't let it depart from your eyes. So how do you do that? Meditation. Meditation. If you do not meditate, you do not have it before your eye. And if you don't have it in your eye, and if you don't have it in your eye, the eye of your mind, then any wind of doctrine comes, you're going to fall for it. You're going to go for it. And you will fail in life. Y'all with me? So let's stay focused. Okay, we're almost done with this. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. And I really like that. See that word find? Mm-hmm. What does that imply to us? Seeking. Yeah, seeking, right? You're looking for something. So when you have the word, what are you looking for? Yeah, you're looking for that treasure. And what treasure would that be? Be faith? What else? What's understanding and wisdom? Because the revelation is basically understanding. If you don't understand how to do it, you're not going to do it. Guaranteed. You are naturally against what you do not understand. What you do not understand, you're going to be against. So the clarity, the opening of the eye of your mind begins to take place once you meditate on the word. The entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119. The entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. Where are you at? Where are you in your spiritual life? How far or how close have you drawn near to God? Or have you gotten away from him? Because it's really simple. All you have to do is stop meditating on the word. Stop praying. Stop reading your Bible. Stop coming to church. All of those little things will cause you to become distant from that which generates life. Where are you? Where are you in your spiritual life? Have you done your due diligence with God? Have you made the time, like we make time for everything else, to spend time with our Heavenly Father, with your Father? What happens if you stop talking to your earthly father? What happens? No relationship. Distance. You know, again, no disrespect to my earthly, physical, biological father, but I cannot call him dad. He never fathered me. Now, he was the man that had the relationship with my mother, and I was the result. So, praise the Lord, I respect that. I respect not the fornication, because that's what it was, fornication. But I respect the fact that he is the man that was used to bring me into the world. He's the donor. He was the donor, but he never fathered me. My father is my heavenly father. He's my father, my heavenly father. You know, and I have some natural mentors that I look up to. I got a father-in-law that I look up to, and I have a pastor, Dr. Price, and men of God that have been in my life that I look up to as spiritual fathers, as they were, you know. But I know that my ultimate father is my Father God. That's what liberated me to be a believer. It was not missing hell. It was not that. It was not none of the stuff that was in the world, because I still wanted to party. I still wanted to use drugs. I still wanted to mess around in the streets. I still wanted to do it. I wasn't burned out with it. I was a young man. I wanted a father. God became my father. You with me? God became my father. That's what I wanted from God. Not to miss hell, not to get out of drugs, but to have God be my father. I have a good father. We have a good father. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to stop there, okay? Praise the Lord.